Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for March 31st, 2008, and on this episode we have an interview with James Moy. He'll be talking to Tom Williams about his role in The Drowsy Chaperone, and you don't want to miss this interview. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is a former Chicago performer who is one of the stars of Drowsy Chaperone, the great Broadway musical that is finally coming to Chicago. So, Chicago, say hello to James Moy. Hello, James.
Hey, Tom, great to be with you.
Great. Well, thank you. Tell us what Drowsy Chaperone is about for those Chicagoans who are anticipating seeing a new Broadway show.
Sure. Drowsy Chaperone starts in a guy's apartment in New York City, and he is a big-time musical theater fan, and he has a lot of old records that he listens to, and one of the neat things about the show is that the audience has this relationship with this character called Man in Chair, and he wants to share with everybody his favorite musical of all time, which is The Drowsy Chaperone. And he puts it on his record player, and it comes to life in his apartment. The Drowsy Chaperone is, of course, a fictional musical that's set in the 1920s, and it has a lot of sort of typical vaudevillian-style humor. And the show was written by some guys who were Second City guys in Toronto, and it kind of has that sketch comedy kind of feel to it because it kind of goes back and forth between the musical and the Man in Chair commenting from the present day on the musical from the past. And it's interesting because we definitely feel like if somebody's a big musical theater fan, they're going to love a lot of the inside humor. If you hate musical theater, you'll love the fact of the commenting on a lot of the action that's going on. And so there's something there for everybody.
Oh, so because people that have seen it who aren't real musical fans have told me that it's one of the funniest shows they've seen.
Yes, it is. It is. It's very funny, mainly because it does have, there's the commenting on, you know, the 1920s style, the vaudevillian, like I said, the vaudevillian style of humor and that sort of stock humor from the 1920s and stock characters that everybody, the leading man, the leading woman, my character, I play Adolfo, the Latin lover, and I'm sort of the cad of the show. You know, it has a lot of those different elements from which a lot of people who love the musical theater will find great joy in seeing some real traditional musical comedy kind of stuff going on stage, while at the same time there's this sort of postmodern viewpoint on what was going on in the 1920s. And so the comedy sort of, it really works, I think, as far as depending on what you like and what you want, but it really has found, a niche and being able to cross over to a lot of people's tastes.
Yeah, and from what I've seen of the extensive photos, it's quite a spectacular. I mean, it's a big, full blown, full color production show.
Oh yeah, it really is. And the costumes won the Tony Award in 2006. Actually, the show won the most Tonys that year. It was up against Jersey Boys, but it actually won more Tonys for book and score and some of those things, but the set design, the costume design is really fantastic, and it's Greg Barnes designed the costumes. They're really fun to be in, and I think you know, people will enjoy the production elements as well.
It's quite a dance show from what I've seen in several of the clips that the Tony Awards had on.
Yes, there's quite a bit, and once again, there's a lot of tap dancing and a lot of there are several big production numbers, and it definitely has that old school kind of, it is an old school musical, you know, inside of this play, you know, which I think is one of the genius things about the show. For those who also don't know that much about the show, the show was actually conceived. It was actually a stag party gift for Bob Martin, who ended up writing most of the show. A lot of his, like I said, a lot of his friends who were Second City people in Toronto they got together and they decided to, since they were struggling actors and whatnot, they decided to give him and his wife, Janet Vandegraaff, who ends up being the leading lady in the play as well, this gift. And they had this conception of the Drowsy Chaperone, this little 25, 30-minute musical that they gave them. And Bob was like, that's a great idea for a show. And he wrote himself the lead character of Man in Chair. And so that's how the show came to be. So it was a stag party gift. And
you're not putting this on. This is true.
This is true.
Okay. Can you imagine what the folklore will be 50 years from now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's hilarious because it is, because I've met Janet. She was around when we actually opened the show in Toronto. Bob, who was nominated for the Tony in New York and originated the role in Toronto and in New York, we went back to Toronto and he did it with us there. And it was really neat doing the show with him in Toronto because he is, you know, absolutely a hero in the theater scene there and just the greatest guy. But it's very funny. I'm like, you know, this is, you know, Robert Martin is the leading man in the show, and Janet Vandegraaff, you guys are immortalized now for forever with this musical. And it's just a very interesting way of how this show came to being. And, you know, it's really great being a part of something that is completely original. And how this show started and got its start is, you know, a really great story.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it shows that the old-time style is not dead.
Sure. You know, I think it's one of those things. You know, I had the good fortune of also, I did the Broadway show Urinetown and the Full Monty. I've definitely been, and in Chicago, I did a show Floyd Collins. And I think it's one of those things where I've been very fortunate in my career to do some new pieces. And, you know, it's one of those things with this show. It's if you build it, they will come. And if you make something that is really great quality, great writing, it's very fun, you know, that you will have success. Even though, you know, this is another show I was drawing parallels with, Urinetown, you know, that has a horrible title.
Yeah.
The Drowsy Chaperone is not the greatest title in the world, but it's a great piece. And so that really, you know, if word of mouth gets out there, then you end up having a lot of people come because it's a great time. You know, it's a show done without intermission. It's only an hour 40.
Without intermission, which is getting to be a trend, and a lot of audiences like that. I know I do.
Yeah, because you just kind of come in the action. And that's one of the cool things about it, too, is that the man in chair will comment a lot about theater and the experience of going to theater. And I think that's one of the genius things about the show is how he connects with the audience, because he does talk about the fact that here would be an intermission or whatever else, and there are different things that people who go to the theater a lot, you know, will recognize, because he'll comment on the experience of going to the theater in, you know, the year 2008, basically. And so that's another way of sort of getting inside the show, and it makes it very accessible to anyone. Like I said before, if whether you're a theater goer or this is your first time going, because it's definitely, because the show is also, it's all about weddings. And I mean, since it was a wedding gift, it is about weddings and relationships and this and that. And so it's a great show to bring a date to and just have a good time.
Well, Sutton Foster was the leading lady in the Broadway production.
Correct.
Yeah, who is in your production?
Well, we have some the one big name everybody will know is Georgia Engel, who originated the role in New York, and she's doing it on tour. And she, of course, was Georgette on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, was most recently on Everybody Loves Raymond, and she is comic gold. It's wonderful getting an opportunity to work with her. Andrea Chamberlain, who was Sutton's standby, is our Janet Vandegraaff, our leading lady here, and no one's going to be disappointed with her dancing ability or her pipes. She can sing for days. So,
well, I saw the one big number that a friend of mine recorded from the Tonys. I probably shouldn't say that, but and that is quite a dance role.
Oh yes,
I mean she does. What's the? I don't know. I don't remember the name of the song, but she kind of does everything. She's kind of showing off.
It's called Show Off, and it's basically about her being a movie starlet and all of her many talents that she can do. And Andrea is fantastic, so we're very fortunate to have her as well. And it's a really interesting cast, because you do have Nancy Opel, who a lot of people know from Urinetown.
Oh yes, I remember her. Yes,
she was the original Pennywise, and she's got, you know, an enormous list of Broadway credits. She was one of the original understudies for Patti LuPone and Evita, and did the role, and She's just an amazing talent, and it's a wonderful cast because it is such a sort of character actor's dream, and there are a lot of folks who people might have seen in different regional shows or different Broadway shows who've been around for a long time, and that definitely helps, I think, with the style of the show. People who really understand, you know, different styles of performance.
Well, that's what I've told a lot of people. I said sometimes you're better off without superstars, but getting the solid, stick to the roof of your mouth Broadway performers that really know what they're doing because they put it out every night.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, and that's the thing. I mean, Richard Vita and Mark Ledbetter, Mark Ledbetter plays the leading man, Robert Martin, and Richard Vita, you know, who both have, you know, enormous credits and are both just tremendous tap dancers, and you know, you get them out there doing the tap number, and it just brings a smile to your face. You know, it's just wonderful just seeing that kind of stuff, because there isn't very much of that being written today. So it's great to see those kind of dance numbers, those kind of production numbers, and it makes it fun to be a part of a show with that kind of style.
Well, you've got a major role in this show.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about your character.
Yes. So like I said, I'm Adolfo, the Latin lover. I'm the seducer of many ladies. The ladies love Adolfo. He is sort of brought in to the producer of the show, or the producer in the show, played by Cliff Bemis. His goal is to keep Janet from being married, because she's going to leave show business and he's going to lose his big star. And so he employs me to seduce the bride and to make sure that the wedding does not go off. But of course, my character is a buffoon, and he's not quite as talented at seducing the ladies as he would like to think, and a lot of hijinks ensue.
Sounds like a fun role.
It is a very fun role. It's definitely one of those roles where you just kind of get to go out there and just kind of be as over the top and ridiculous as you want to be, and it really doesn't matter. There's a lot of physical stuff and bad accents and all that kind of stuff. One of the neat things about the show too is that the character manager will comment about the actors playing the roles in the show, and he talks about their careers. And my character is actually Roman Bartelli, playing the role of Adolfo. And you know, Roman was definitely one of those guys. I sort of like to think of him as sort of a George Hamilton type, you know, one of these guys who likes to think of himself as very good looking and all this kind of stuff. But it ends up being, you know, a little full of himself. And that's one of the neat things about the show too, is he talks about like Nancy Opel's character, who is the drowsy chaperone, as Beatrice Stockwell, you know, and the fact that she would sing all these rousing anthems in every show she ever did. So, of course, in this show, she has to have a rousing anthem, because that's what Beatrice Stockwell demands. If she's
sounds like Ethel Merman.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, basically, these characters are sort of derived from famous Broadway characters or famous actors from the time.
So at one time, it's an ode to the Jazz Age musicals and the old throwbacks, plus kind of a parody or kind of a satire of them too.
A little bit. You know, it is definitely an interesting juxtaposition, because the neat thing about it is it doesn't just make fun of old school musicals.
Forbidden Broadway.
No, it doesn't just. But at the same time, there is, like I said, I mean, the way Manachair comments on things and the way you kind of get the inside scoop on things, it does lend itself to the satire of the form as well. So it's, at the same time, I think it does a really good job of both honoring the style and also sending it up in a way. So
those of us who love the musicals are going to love us, and those of us who kind of hate musicals are going to love this. Huh?
Yeah.
And that's pretty clever.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. I definitely have a lot of friends who are actors who are not fans necessarily of musical theater, and that's one of the things they love about this, because there is something, you know, kind of old school about it, and you know, that something that really warms your heart because it's such a charming show. At the same time, there's a sort of this contemporary edge that goes along with it, and that I think that's one of the reasons why the show has been so successful, and it was able to, you know, make itself work its way out of the Toronto Fringe Festival to being a huge Broadway hit. You know,
so you've been on tour now for a couple of months, right?
Yeah, we started in Toronto in the middle of September. So,
what's the audience reaction been around the country?
It's been great. It's definitely been one of those things, you know, once again, where people don't know the show, don't know the title, and especially, you know, we're touring around with Jersey Boys, with Wicked, which, you know, are both still in downtown Chicago, and And a lot of the touring versions, you know, were a part of the seasons we're part of. And people are like, you know, we got the season subscription because of Wicked and Jersey Boys, and this is one of the favorite shows we've ever seen, you know, because I think it's so accessible. It's very funny, and you know, people just come and they end up having a great time.
Well, let me give a little commercial for it. It's at the Cadillac Palace. It opens April 1st, and it runs only through the 13th. But I have a feeling, because Chicago, you know, is a real hot theater town, as you know, I have a feeling that's just that you're just sort of sampling Chicago, that I think you'll be back for a longer run.
I hope so. I hope so. You know, it's definitely one of those things where, you know, like I've said, the title is not known, and it is original. It's a little bit of a smaller show, but I also know from... I lived in Chicago for 5 years, and I also know that, you know, Chicagoans like quality and they like things that are a little more, you know, maybe not as much mainstream and stuff that has a little more of an edge to it, and, as well as the...
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because you're right. That is one of the tastes here of Chicago. Well, as you know from working at the Goodman and Steppenwolf, tell us about some of that, your Chicago experience.
Yeah, I started my career in Chicago, and I had after college, I did an internship up at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, and I was actually from the Southeast. I'm from Virginia originally, and on our days off up in Milwaukee, I would start coming down to Chicago to see shows or just kind of hang out in the city, and just fell in love with it, and decided it would be, you know, a great place to make a career. And you know, I had a wonderful experience working all around the town.
Said you got your start on the dinner boat, the Spirit.
Yeah, I did. My first gig in Chicago was on the Spirit of Chicago, and it was a wonderful way to get to know the city from the lake, because it is such a beautiful skyline. But it's funny, because some of the other people that I was on there with, Keely Vasquez, who's a friend of mine, she now sings backup for Barry Manilow all around the country, and Kate Baldwin, who was on The Spirit with me, is a Broadway. She's done a couple shows on Broadway. So there was a really talented group of folks that we had working on the Spirit at the time, and moved from there, and just was fortunate enough to start working around the city, and I had the opportunity to work out at Dreamland Oak Brook and Marriott, as well as the Goodman and Steppenwolf.
Yeah,
you did. Mentioned.
I remember Floyd Collins at the Goodman. That was a terrific show.
It was a great show. I was really honored to be a part of it, because that was mainly cast out of, we did it at the Old Globe in San Diego, as well as it was sort of a mini tour. They were trying to kind of get it. They were trying to get a package to go back into New York, and there were three of us from Chicago. Of course, Guy Atkins, whom everybody knows,
sure,
in Chicago, and Marty Higginbotham.
Sure.
We were the three of us who were fortunate enough to be the Chicagoans who were in the show, and everybody else was from New York. And it was really definitely one of the great theatrical experiences I ever had, working with Tina Landau and Adam Gettle, who, of course, went on to win Tony Awards with Light and Piazza. And just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And definitely the biggest thing, you know, I booked the show The Full Monty, and that ended up getting me to New York. And that's when I moved from Chicago. But the one thing I always love about being in Chicago is just the community and just the atmosphere that we have. I mean, I still love when I come back into town getting together with people from the Goodman or you know, from Steppenwolf or from the Marriott or wherever else, and just the community and the support and the friendship that everybody has there. And I think that's one of the great things beyond just the high quality of theater in Chicago, is that the relationships and the friendships that you have and maintain.
That's what people tell me. And of course, they love coming back to work here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've been fortunate enough in New York to be able to string a lot of work together, but it always, I'm always hoping to get that gig back in Chicago, get the opportunity to come back, because it's just such a great city. I became a diehard Cubs fan when I was living there. You know, I was living on the North Side, and
this could be their year.
Yeah, it could be. I'm hoping so. We've already got tickets for a couple games at that first week. So,
oh, do you? Good. I hope you don't get frozen out, because you know that's the Cubs tradition. It usually snows on their opening day.
That's right, and I do remember April in Chicago. It could be 65 or it could be 25. So
yeah, that's true.
So I'm definitely hoping for the former rather than the latter when it comes to the weather next week. So
well, you've had a terrific career, and it's got to be a testimony to your talent and to just being able to stick with it, because so many actors, you know, I hear in town, oh, how do you get roles? Well, you got to work at your craft, right, and get out there.
Yeah, and I thank you. I appreciate that. It was, you know, and being in Chicago, one of the other great things about Chicago, and for any young actors who are out there listening, I mean, they're really fantastic. I mean, I was able to find a fantastic, you know, fantastic acting teachers and fantastic a vocal teacher, and it really prepared me, you know, as well as anything that I've had in, as far as training goes in New York. You know, I mean, Chicago is absolutely, the quality is absolutely as good as anything in New York City, and you can work on your craft and really prepare yourself for a career in Chicago or a career in New York or Los Angeles. You know, I definitely have a lot of friends who made their way west when I was making my way east, and Chicago is definitely a place where, you know, you can make a career for life, or you can definitely, while you're there, you know, if you're looking to go to one of the coasts, it's definitely a place where the quality is as good as anything you go see on the east or west coast.
Well, I have a feeling when folks see you back here in Drowsy Chaperone, you'll probably get some invites from Marriott or some of the others when the tour is over to work here. I have a feeling you'll be back.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, the show is Drowsy Chaperone. It's only here for 2 weeks. It opens April 1st at the Cadillac Palace, and you can get tickets through Broadway in Chicago. I can't wait to see it. And I just really thank you so much for your time, and I think it'll do a little to alert people so that they don't say, darn, I missed that show, because it's only here 2 weeks at this point, right?
That's right. That's right. Hopefully, we're pretty much booked up through August. I know they're trying to put together a second year right now, so who knows, we might be able to make it back. More than likely. But, yeah, hopefully, you know, definitely the folks come out these next two weeks and definitely make the producers want to come on back. So, hopefully a lot of people come out and see it.
Well, thank you for your time, and we'll see you on the opening day.
Absolutely. All Thanks right. so much, Tom.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of March 31st, 2008. Looking Glass Theater Company announces their 2008-2009 season, which will include the world premiere of The Brothers Karamazov, Thornton Wilder's Our Town, and The Arabian Nights. All are a part of the 21st season being performed at the Looking Glass Theater Company inside Chicago's historic Water Tower Waterworks. Looking Glass's season includes, as mentioned earlier, The Brothers Karamazov, that is by Dostoevsky. It starts on October 15th and is adapted and directed by ensemble member Heidi Stillman. It is an epic masterpiece of murder, greed, and treachery. It also sounds very good. Remember, this is a world premiere and something that is not to be missed. Our Town by Thornton Wilder comes up next. That opens on February 11th of next year. Anna Shapiro and Jessica Thebus direct this classic masterpiece that will be done in Looking Glass's unique fashion. And finally, The Arabian Nights premieres May 20th of next year. This has been adapted and directed by Tony Award-winning Mary Zimmerman, who has boldly reimagined this visual feast celebrating the power of storytelling. Season tickets to Looking Glass's 2008-2009 21st season will go on sale on April 15th. For more details about the season, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section, or, of course, you can stomp around on our website. It's a fun one to click around on, so go ahead and give it a shot. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that Lyle Allen, the managing director of the League of Chicago Theaters, has left the league to become the executive director of the Chicago Green City Market. The search is on for a replacement chief executive of the organization. Until then, Rich Carlson will step in as managing director for the League of Chicago Theaters. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank James Moy for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.